Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 698. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd just like to welcome Aaron Rodgers to 2-6. Welcome.
Jeff is here as well.
How about them Bears, though?
Yeah, outside of, like, they had that game pretty much locked down.
Was that televised by you guys, since it was like an afternoon game, or no?
I mean, here it was, because that's a local game for us.
Yeah. So did you get to watch that?
Oh, I watched it. I saw it happen. I saw the Bears in real time.
It's, God. Pretty much you watch, like, my thoughts of, like, playoff hopes, like, evaporate, because I'm just like, nah. They're not ready.
Well, I mean, it's better that kind of play happened now, so that, like, they have, like, time to, like,
it's just
learn as the season goes. Like, you wouldn't want that to happen. Like, if that happens in, like, week, like, 17 or 18, that could break a team. If it happens early enough, like, it's something that you, like, overcome later on in the season.
Yeah.
No faith in the coaches. Like, you know, yeah. There were other things. Like, they gave the ball to that lineman or whatever the fuck, and he, like, coughed it up right on the
fucking goal. Yeah, that was a really stupid play call. But I think part of it, too,
they suck.
I mean, I don't think Caleb Williams has played particularly well. Even the stretch where he was not good, those were really, really bad. Really, really epically bad.
Yeah, he played bad teams.
Yeah, he may get better, and he clearly has, like, arm talent, and it's really hard to learn how to play NFL football, but right now he's not very good.
Yeah, like he's competent enough against bad teams, though, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, he so far the season, he has, like, good stats, but if you watched that game, he did not look good in that game at all. Like, he just could not. I don't know if he couldn't find people open or he just can't read what's going on, but. Yeah. He's just, like, frozen the whole time, and then he'd fucking throw him, like, a foot wide every time, like, or, you know, yard or two wide. You're like, dude, way overthrowing these guys.
And that's like a rookie thing. Like, when they get too excited, they just overthrow everybody. And, like, this was a big game, right? This was, like, the challenge. You versus the other top rookie. Let's do it. And he was too amped up. I think that's Trevor Lawrence, who I don't like, and I also don't think is very good, has the same issue. Like, he gets excited all the time and just starts overthrowing everything, and sometimes they learn out of it and sometimes they don't, and Trevor Lawrence never has.
I just feel like the coaching staff on the Bears, it's just with our coach staff, it's just impossible to be good. Like, I don't think
they know how to coach offensive football, which is makes it really hard to score points in a game that is about scoring points. It's very
but that was me and Sean's Super Bowl, and we were going back and forth with each other throughout the game, and near the end of the game he's flipping out and this and that, and I finally actually got my wife to, like, watch a football game, and she, like, you know, there's like 22 seconds left and she's, like, all celebrating, and I wasn't, because I'm like, I know the reality, like, slim chance of anything happening, but there's time on the clock. They had a timeout, like, you know, maybe. By the time we got to the Hail Mary, I thought it was over, and no, of course it wasn't, because it's the Bears, and our curse is stronger than the curse of the Commanders.
Well, I think the funny part is that guy who was mocking the fans and facing the wrong direction was the guy assigned to cover the guy who ended up catching the touchdown.
Correct.
That's problematic.
Yeah.
So that guy is going to have a hard couple weeks, I imagine.
Yeah.
But in bright news, as Tony said, Aaron Rodgers is 2-6 and fuck the Jets.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Every game this season, like, you can tell, like, He's got it together for, like, the first, like, couple quarters, and then his body just falls out. And the second half, he just looks atrocious and horrible. and he's like reading the field badly. And of course, he's getting jets the whole time. Like, there was that really weird stat where no team had ever like lost when they'd scored 20 points, limited the other team to less than 200 yards. And the Jets were like the first one. It was like 174-1. There was a third condition in there too. No turnovers. Yeah. So it was score 20 points, don't turn the ball over, limit the other team to less than 200 yards. No team had ever lost until Sunday. Good work, Jets. Good job.
It's like, I know early in the season we were all talking and people were like, oh man, I hope he like steps back out on the field and gets hurt again. And like, this has been so much more satisfying than that.
You and I were both like, no, we don't want him to get hurt. We want him to be awful.
We want to watch him suck. We want him to
experience the pain.
Yeah, this is so good. Like, it is so absolutely, like, riveting just watching Jets games and, like, watching him fall apart. Just, and you could see sometimes it's not even his fault. It's just he's on the Jets. It's like they're going to find a way to lose for you. Like, so great.
Yeah, but, I mean, he has contributed to that stuff. Like, the one play where he wasn't on the same page with his receiver and the receiver ran the wrong, like, that's the kind of thing like you get in camp. And like, he missed all that camp because he was on his stupid drug retreat. Like, he deserves that shit to happen to him. That's his fault. So
that's been super fun, much more fun than watching the Dolphins. So
I mean, the Dolphins have hope, though.
Yes, like, I felt hope for the first time in seven weeks after, like, they fell apart at the end, but their offense actually, you know, moved the ball a little bit.
Yeah. Like, they looked like a competent football team that day. Like, you give, like, Tua had only practiced, like, a couple days that week. Like, it'll come back. It'll all come back, and I think they'll be in a good place. But they clearly need Tua. Like, if Tua's not there, that team is not good.
It is amazing. Like, it's like, oh, like, all these guys are professional athletes, and they are, but there is a huge drop-off from, like, a starter in the NFL to, like, your backup. And there's only a few teams that have a backup that can jump in and play as well as a starter. Like, so, like, if Tua gets hurt, like, we're playing with scrubs. so football's been fun. The rest of the world is on fire. I am like politics is insane. It's been a bit of a mess out there on that front.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Oh my god.
Spooky season lasts a few more days this year.
Oh god.
Lasted November 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere in there.
I mean, there's going to be so many lawsuits, but, you know, he
already filed one today, I believe, in against my county in Pennsylvania.
What's your read of the situation, Chris? I need to know how Pennsylvania is feeling. I don't trust the polls. I need the Chris poll.
I don't know. It's like, it's real. Like, if you're driving, it looks like, oh, like, these people are very Trump heavy. But it's like very consolidated, and it's like a couple houses, and they have every piece of Trump merchandise you could buy. Like, most people just don't put shit out.
It's a cult. If they're in the cult, you can see the cult members almost immediately. And Harris doesn't have a cult. It's just like sane people.
I will say that they are canvassing it, like, the Democrats, at least they're hitting houses. Like, I got them like three times in a row on Saturday. They like knocked on my door, like three different Democrat candidates. So they're at least out there. They're doing the work. So
you talk to them or just not answer?
Yeah. Well, it's like I saw somebody, they didn't ring the doorbell. They were just like standing out there. My dog was like barking at him. Like, what? Oh, okay. You're here to do some sort of political nonsense. And they seem nice enough. Like, very friendly. Just
yeah, hopefully they got good people out there talking to people.
Yeah, I did think it was like, do you have a plan to vote? Yes. Like, I'm going to go and vote. Like, do I need like a map? Like, what kind of plan are we doing here? Yeah. So I was driving to work today and it was stupid. Somebody in the night went through and ripped all the Harris signs down and put Trump signs up, but left like the Harris signs just like knocked over. Like, and it was like a string of like seven of them, like on normal the side behavior. Of the road. Yeah, it was like, this is goofy and stupid. Like, why are we acting like we're in high school or like doing like petty vandalism?
Not the that's the people who support him. Those are the kind of people who are like,
yeah,
the kind of guy who just like knocked down somebody else's side just because.
And do you guys get, I mean, you know, you're out there driving. Do you have like the dumb Trump signs too? Like, we have these ones that are, somebody described them on Reddit today as Neanderthal signs. It's like Trump low taxes, Kamala high taxes. Like, do you guys have those? Like, it's like something stupid like Trump no crime, Kamala low crime or high crime or something like that.
No,
like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I think the problem. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I think I told you guys like last time I was on that, like, it's a lot of like Harris signs in my neighborhood, anyways.
Good.
The Trump stuff is like, there's a few, like, if you drive around, you'll find some Trump. Trump people always have like the biggest, like, banners type things.
Yeah.
Like, biggest, like, a giganto flag where you're just like, dude, what are you doing? But there's a few people in town that like really stick out, and like I kind of know who they all are, like, just because I kind of know a lot of people in the community. And
yeah,
there's like this CPA who, you know, he has like the crazy people in my town have like the signs on their trucks. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's like the CPA, like, this guy does people's like finances or whatever, and you know, the signs on his truck are like, impeach Biden, like, you could have freedom or free stuff, your choice. It's just like, dude, what are you talking about, dude? And then there's a guy that's even crazier named Jim Mason, which I could say because he's kind of a public figure here. He's like DeKalb's Trump. He is like a landlord.
Oh. And
he's got really in stickers. I can't even like one of them was like Candace Owens for vice president. We're just like, what the fuck are you, like, this is like some out there shit. Supposedly a really bad guy to rent from too.
Not surprising.
But yo, the vibes here are good. Unfortunately, Illinois is, you know, we're gonna deliver, like, you know, we don't really matter, so It's all your mistake.
Maryland and DC will also deliver. Virginia's also going to deliver. So, like, the whole DMV area.
Yeah, you know, no pressure, Chris. It's all coming down to
it's
your.
It's all
state.
On you.
Yeah.
I do think, like, we have a very big Puerto Rican population in the state
that are mad.
Yes, they are not happy after the events of Madison Square Garden. So,
I don't know, those events have been overshadowed now by a day of Joe Biden, like, that the news never shut it up about today, where I was just like, are we doing 2016 again? What are we doing?
Right. Or is, like, Joe Biden's not running for president.
Right.
There's an election he's not involved in, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe cover the people who's actually in there.
I was doing a lot of work around the house today, and I turned on CNN, left it on in the background, and like literally all day, that's what they talked about. I'm like, dude, we're 6 days out from possibly electing a dictator, and you're talking about Joe Biden doing a verbal gaffe, which honestly, like, the whole statement context, you get what he's saying. It's just like we just live in the dumbest fucking time, dude. Like.
And between that and like Jeff Bezos stifling the Washington Post,
I'll
my girlfriend canceled her subscription. She's like, I'm out. I can't deal with that.
I don't even know that Bezos wants him. I mean, you know, really wants Trump to win. But I think the Bezos thing is just being a pussy. Like, it's just like, well, if he does win, I don't want to be on
come after the media. Yeah.
Well, the problem is that Trump already hates him, and that's like that's not going to change. And then all he did was piss off Democrats who subscribed to his thing.
Yeah.
And like free speech advocates who are like, this is supposed to be an independent paper. You always, you said from the beginning when you purchased it that you wouldn't interfere with the news arm, and here you are doing exactly that.
Yeah, and they did lose a lot of subscribers, and
like 10% of their subscriber base. Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that like the Philadelphia Inquirer has been doing very good work.
Reporting
wise over.
They do an endorsement
last year. They did do an endorsement. Yeah.
Nice.
And they consistently call out Trump for his bullshit.
We just gotta hope there's just enough sane people left that everything will be okay.
What's hoping that we have enough sane people and that the people that are counting the votes, like, you know, the people on the election boards aren't gonna fuck us.
I am less worried about that stuff because I just feel like it'll always lose in court, and you know, if people try to do fuckery, that they'll be prosecuted. I
hope so.
It is weird how out of all the coverage out of Trump's Madison Square Garden rally, like, it didn't really get covered much about how, like, he's like, me and Mike Johnson got a secret. I'm like, what is the secret, buddy? Like, did you guys hear about this?
No.
Because, yeah, it did not get much coverage, but he was like, yeah, me, like, you know, don't worry, me and Mike Johnson, we had, like, the Speaker of the House, he's like, we have a secret, and you'll find out about it after the election. I'm just like, are you guys,
your, like, your lovers? Is that, like,
what's going on? I take it as, like, they have, like, a plan to overturn the election in place already, and... But again, like, even if that, I feel like... I don't know, man. Like, Mike Johnson would have some major balls to try to, like, do something like... I don't know, dude. I don't put anything past these Republicans, but... I just feel like there will be consequences if people try to fuck with it, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You gotta worry about the first things first, which is, like, winning
get
the election.
Get out and vote. Yeah. Get out and vote and hope that the actual numbers go the right way. And then we can worry about anything after that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see how this plays out. Because, I mean, I don't think we'll know the winner when we record next week. Because, what was it, 11 days last time that it took?
It's because of you guys.
It was. It took a long time. And that was the Republicans, like, kept filing lawsuits.
I mean, we could know things. Like, we could know, maybe, like, if she, like, pulled off a win in North Carolina, I'm feeling pretty fucking good. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen, but let's say magically she won Florida, then you're like, it's over. You know what I mean? But,
yeah, then you don't wishful need, thinking. You don't need PA at that point. Like,
yeah. We'll have a sense of things, but yeah, I hate this. I hate it all. I can't wait for it to be over.
Yeah.
I just, like,
I already need another drink.
I need him to go away.
Yes, I need it to end. I need 10 years too much. You've taken too many years off my fucking life, probably.
It's just not fun. Go get a drink, Jeff. And we're going to talk about some video games while we wait for Jeff to come back. So, Tony, have you played anything this past week?
I played a number of things.
Yeah?
I played more Mech Warrior.
Okay.
Which, I've actually gotten into, like, the meat of the campaign.
So you got past the cutscenes?
So I looked at it afterwards, because you can watch the cutscenes. So when I talked about it on the show last week, I'd played through two missions and seen seven cutscenes, because there's a library afterwards. But now I've played through five more missions and only seen two more cutscenes.
Nice. So it's that, evening out a little bit.
It is evening out, and I'm actually getting to play, which is fun. I tried the co-op with one of my friends. So it's interesting. The co-op is within your campaign. So I just loaded up my campaign. Mm-hmm. And in the campaign, I've said this a couple of times, you're the head of a star, like five mechs.
Yes.
And all the co-op is your other players just take control of the other guys in your star. So okay. Instead of like ordering them around, they can just, you know, fuck off and do whatever they want.
They're doing their own thing.
Yeah. Which was actually good because my friend's actually really good at Mech Warrior. No. He's got his special stick that he plays with, and like he's one of those people who's way into it. I was like, I can't do that. I don't go that far, but mouse and keyboard is enough for me. But it's also one of those, like, I don't play a lot of games like this. So yeah. As I get more like used to the controls and like used to moving around in this like mech type situation, like you get used to like the momentum of your mech and like aiming and shooting and like turning and using it as a turret and that kind of stuff. And it gets really like intricate and fun, and learning how to like design your mech, because like once you get through the first couple missions, you get like access to the like the mech bay, so you can buy new mechs or take the mechs that you have and like reconfigure their armor or their weapons.
Is there like a power system to it? Like, you know, you need this much power for these weapons, or
because so it's mostly just based off weight.
Okay.
So like your mech's chassis can hold 40 tons worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can distribute the stuff not necessarily however you want, because the chassis does have a certain shape and that kind of stuff, but you can move stuff around on the chassis based on that. So like, for instance, I noticed my mech's arm kept getting blown off.
Yep.
And like, it had two arms, and one is like a missile launcher with limited ammo, and the other one is like two laser cannons. And so the arm, like I'd wanted the laser cannon arm to survive because that one had infinite ammo. So my mech also had like a built-in machine gun and like machine gun ammo. And the machine gun in the game is useless. Like it can kill like really like small things. But like when your arms get blown off in the middle of combat and you're left with the machine, there was definitely a point where I was like fighting the final boss enemy of a level with a machine gun that couldn't damage it at all.
Just bouncing off of it.
Yep. And I was dodging every attack it launched, but it didn't matter because I couldn't hurt that thing at all. So I removed the machine gun and like doubled the armor on my arm with lasers. So like it gives it more survivability. So you kind of have those kind of decisions to make about your mech. And I think as your mechs get larger, the decisions get a lot more intricate. I'm still like, I think I'm on the sixth mission right now, so I'm not that far along, and I'm still like, I just unlocked the Shadow Cat, which is like a famous medium-sized mech, but I don't have any larger mechs. You can also like shuffle around the sorts of mechs that you're bringing into a battle. There's like a weight limit for your star for each mission.
Okay.
So like, the one I'm about to go in, the weight limit is 195 tons. And through every other mission in the game, I've gone with my mech, which is a medium mech, and then four light mechs to keep under the weight limit. But since now the weight limit is up to 195 tons, well, a medium mech weighs 40 tons. So now I can have four of them.
Use more of them then.
Yeah. So... Okay. Doing that kind of that stuff, managing
it. How heavy is a heavy mech or a large mech?
I don't have any unlocked yet. If I remember correctly, it's like 80 to 100.
Okay.
So because I played other Mech Warrior games. Like, the weight system is kind of standard.
as you progress, then it's like, oh, you'll have more options to like kind of mix and match. Like, I could go with one heavy, two medium, and two like light max. That could be cool.
There's also like a ranking system. So as you perform in missions and you do well, you unlock new mechs that you can purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first mech I unlocked was a light mech, but it was better than a lot of the other light mechs. So I bought a couple of them and replaced some of the ones that I was using. And so as you go along, you're like, there'll be a point at which I unlock a heavy mech.
Yeah.
That I can purchase. But until I get to that point, we're going to medium mech it up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else besides a mech warrior?
We gave the Monster Hunter Wilds
beta test. Yeah. How'd that go?
That is an excellent beta. I highly recommend it. As long as, you know, it starts, if you're not on PS Plus, the beta starts, I think, late night, Thursday night, and goes through like Monday.
Okay.
But the beta starts off with like the first mission of the game, and like the introductory hunt of the first monster. And then it guides you on to another monster hunt. And then it tells you that the beta is over. It's not actually over then, though. It's like a large, like it's like the first, like whole first area of the game. And so once you've completed those first two hunts, you can go off and hunt the other monsters that are within the area. And the game will like dynamically create new quests as you find those monsters.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So like if you played Monster Hunter World, it would always be, you'd go to like the quest giver and you would pick what monster you were going to hunt and you'd go out and you'd hunt it.
Right.
And here, there are quests like that, but the rest, it's just, there are monsters out in the world that you can just go find. And as you start to hunt them, it creates a quest around that. And so, gives you like the timing to fight the monster and all that stuff.
In world, like you had like a hub area that you would go back to, and as you said, like you'd load into that hunt.
Yeah.
Is there still a hub area, or are you just like out, is like more open world where you can kind of like come and go to the hub world?
There's an encampment. In the beta, most of the stuff is unlocked. So like there's the place where you can craft all your weapons and everything. You can't use that in the beta. That's not in the beta.
Right.
But like there is this little hub where all the hunters meet. It's not in the middle. It's actually like way on the north side of the map. And then when you leave that, you can actually establish your own little camp out in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And like use that to like restock your supplies and stuff, which is cool. And you don't even have to go to like, I don't remember if you remember from World, you would like have a chest that you have to go through and open and pull all your stuff out.
Yeah.
If you walk close enough to it, it like automatically restocks your items.
Oh, that's cool. Like, so not like, oh, you have to go in, pull all your shit out. And
yeah.
It's like automatically knows what you're here for. Fill her up, move on.
Yeah. The actual hunts look a lot cooler. One of the new features in the game is like wounding monsters. So as you're like hitting them, you'll like open like bleeding wounds, which you then can continue to hit to like do extra damage. And like, it'll actually give you an item if you like destroy the wound. But like, you see the monster will be like covered in these wound spots. And like, as you destroy them, the monster will be like all scarred and disgusting as the battle goes on. It looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks like the monster's being wailed on, right? Yeah. Which is what's happening.
As it should.
Yeah. As opposed to World, where like there were several parts and there were parts that you could break, and that stuff is here too, but also the monster will look like it's being like hit with a sword repeatedly. Because it is, and that would like, you know, cause scarring and cause damage and all that stuff.
So I assume that like once you take these beasts down, like the carcass looks nightmarish.
Yeah.
You've just been wailing on it with your giant axe or sword, or or glaive for 20 minutes.
Yeah. They look pretty nasty. One of the other cool things is you can, and you could do this in World, if you were hunting a monster, you could send up an SOS flare.
Mm-hmm.
And people would come and help you. If there aren't people to come and help you, the game will send, will respond to the SOS flare with AI hunters.
That's a nice addition. Cause,
yeah.
Yeah, because like with World, at some point it just became like, well, nobody's playing in this zone anymore because it's low level. So
yeah.
If you didn't have friends to play with, you were kind of just on your own.
Yeah, and the AI hunters are all like story based hunters from like I recognize them from the cutscenes.
Oh, so which like kind of cool people you're interacting with, its characters, and that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, and they're like all using different weapons, so you kind of get to see how they all work. Which is also nice.
And that's a February release, I think.
Yeah, end of February.
Yeah. Okay. I'm into that, and it's right now it's PlayStation Plus. When you guys are hearing this, it should be everywhere for a couple more days. So,
yep.
Anything else?
Latro.
Nice. Latro.
Stupid yeah. game. I hate it and love it at the same time, Jeff.
Yeah,
I'm happy you played it.
Yeah. Have you completed a run yet?
Oh God, I've completed a lot of runs. Okay. I'm trying now to get one of my decks through all of the difficulty levels.
Okay.
What level am I on now? Because I've made it through a bunch of them. Of course, Bellagio just restarted. Yeah, because like as you like increase the difficulty and they like, oh, now the small you. Now the anti's go up faster.
And yeah.
Now there are jokers that you can't get rid of if you get them.
Which yeah, there's all makes sorts, everything of, sorts of modifiers and makes it harder to play. And
yeah, so I'm up to purple stake now.
Okay.
So I've gone through white, red, green, black, and blue.
I think okay. I won finally, like after a long, much longer than you guys, on like the blue deck or whatever. Like
yeah, that first deck.
And I said, game over. Thank
you. Just like, I beat it once.
Yeah. But it really sounds like there is more to dig into. With
the different yeah. I experimented with a bunch of the decks. Like, I like the initial decks. Like, there's one that gives you a bunch of cash to start off with, which I thought would be good. But, like, the one I've been using is a Zodiac deck, which gives like extra cards, like tarot cards come up mm-hmm. super frequently, which I find is like probably the most powerful of the
yeah, because you can boost your we can either boost your cards or you can get like celestial cards or
yeah
or you know free jokers or you know there's a bunch of bonuses that come with it.
Well, I think the biggest usage is like you can actually have the cards in the blind. So, like, mm-hmm. you can affect the hands as they're happening. Whereas, like, if you're just adding cards to your deck, that card may come, that card may not come.
Right.
But the tarot card, you can have, like, sitting there waiting to be used at the proper moment.
Yeah, so if it's like, oh, you know, get four multiplier and 30 extra chips on this card, like,
yeah.
you can apply it to like, a 10, and then all of a sudden you're getting way more points out of that.
Or like the strength card, which I like more and more the more I use it, where you're like adjusting what the cards are. So like you go from having this hand, which was two pair. Oh, and now it's a full house.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That one's nice.
Yeah. I go back and forth on the Spectre cards, which can either be super powerful or screw you.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I can switch all these, I think it's 10 cards that they show you at once, to the same suit, and it picks like the least effective suit for you, or the one that's banned by the blind, or whatever. or like, there's some of the, will destroy one card and give you these other cards, and like, it'll destroy like the best card that I have sitting there, like, thank you.
Like, thank that, you. That sucks.
But there's another, there was one time though where it's like, okay, let's change all these cards to the same card, and it, damn if it didn't give me aces for all of them. I finished that run. That was pretty easy.
Balatro's ton of fun. Glad you're enjoying it. And
yeah, I actually finished a run this on my second attempt. So
that's wild. It
took me quite longer. So.
Yeah, it took me weeks of playing that. Yeah.
Now, to be fair, like I do know all like the poker math, so like I already have that advantage.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me, it's just the things layered on top of it that. You know, I'm very set in my Texas Hold'em. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I know. That's what I've played decades of. And, you know, when you're adding variables and I don't know. I played a poker game for
like a decade. And, like, you get set with Texas Hold'em. And then you start, like, working in other games. And, like,
you get used to variables and
getting used to the other stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's a good game. I enjoy it, but like there's things about it that just annoy the crap out of me. I don't know. I love it and I hate it.
Like still going back and playing it.
I can't stop. And I can't stop playing it. It's one of those things like I have to have days where I can't touch it.
I had like no doubt that you would like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just like, you like poker, you're gonna like it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, it's really good.
Well, moving from Balatro, I mean, it's not really a normal card game, but you're, you know, more normal in the sense that, like, everyone knows how to play poker. Most people know how to play poker with a deck of cards. Jeff, I think you mentioned this the last time you were on.
Yeah.
And then you got me to play it, and we both finished it in that time. Inscription.
Yeah, I got absolutely obsessed with this game. I think it's a great game. I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess if the game's 3 years old, I guess, at this point. It's been around a little bit, but Jeff and I just jumped onto it now. And the easiest way to describe it is it is a kind of like a Magic the Gathering type card game where you can play five cards at a time. And some of your cards cost resources to play. So, is it five or four? Four rows.
Well, it depends. Depends where you are.
Yes, there's somewhere else. There's five, but it's the starting is four columns. So you play four cards at a time, and some of the cards, like the ones that actually matter, cost a resource. So you have to like, you know, it might cost two of a certain resource to play that card or four of a different resource.
It costs sacrifices. Well, yeah, I guess resources too. But.
It's either blood or bones is how you play it. So blood you get by killing cards that you already have out there. So sacrificing them as you said, Jeff, or when your cards die or when you sacrifice them, they create bones. And then so you have like a stack of bone chips on the side and like some of your cards will cost bones to play. And those cards will have like a, you know, they'll have a health and an attack line. So, you know, you could have like a two health, two attack sparrow or something. And then there's like modifiers on each of those cards, and you're playing against somebody that's across the table from you.
Yeah.
And as you play, like they, you know, you're going to go across this like little map for a while. And there's like kind of like the guy you're playing is putting down like a game board for you to play on because he's insane. And then like you'll hit boss battles, and those bosses have like specialties that they can apply to you. So, I think the first boss you come across is the Prospector. So when you finish phase one of that, he actually freezes all of your cards. He turns them into gold mines. So basically, they block off you being able to play. They kill your card, and you're fucked. And like, you can't play anything
space. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the first time you do it, you're probably playing like normal person would. You're playing all your cards.
Yeah, your best cards.
Yeah. You're playing your best cards early, and you're probably playing four across, and you finish that first phase because you didn't know they were in phases, and he just freezes all of them, kills all your cards.
Yeah.
So it's like learning, you know, what the boss's strengths are and what you know, what their special attacks are. There's a fisherman guy. He has a hook that can like drag your, you know, one of your cards to his side. And it's based on whichever card you play last.
I hate the worst, this one, that this guy can steal your cards. I hate it.
Yeah.
Not cool. You could, you could kind of offset it, but he points the hook at whatever card you threw out last. So, like, you could save a garbage card that has no value and throw that out last before you do your play.
Yeah.
But it's just, I hate it. I hate you. You can't take my cards. Those are my cards.
And then, like, his second phase is, like, pretty, like, he throws out these boxes that are in front of you. And if you don't, if you don't really have, like, flying ones, if you don't have, like, flying cards, you're attacking those boxes. And those boxes, like, drop out, like, great white sharks and other horrible, like, sea creatures that do heavy damage and have high defense. And it's, like, they're tough. Like, and,
yeah.
And that just spreads out like as you're going through this map. But you can get up from the table and like explore the little cabin you're in. I should also say that if you die twice, so if you lose to this guy twice, during the course of a run, you die. Like the character you're at. He kills you. And you get create what's called a death card, which you then choose from your old deck, cards that you've had in there, and you start like picking, like your health or the cost of the card, how much it'll cost you, your health and like the damage levels and then like the special, the sigils, the special attacks and powers that your card can have. And then that you can end up getting that card in your deck as you play.
Yes.
And you could build one that's actually really strong and has no cost. And like,
it's how you're going to get through. Well, some of the game.
Yeah. I found is it the mushroom people, Jeff? Like I think it's twins. Like if you have a pair of cards, yeah, she'll take it, combine it, and up your levels. And I actually ended up with two field mice. So they're a 2/2 card, and when you play it, it generates that card back into your hand. So not just in the deck, into your hand. So I at that point then had a 4/4 field mouse, and I would always have a field mouse in my hand. So that's actually how I got through it.
You eventually get like you eventually get some sort of win card one way or another, where it's just like, if that card comes up, it's going to carry you through. But I think the card game is excellent and amazing. And what is there in the first third of that game could be a card game on its own that I would happily buy and enjoy and play over and over and over. But looking at the bigger picture of what the game is, that's like the tip of the iceberg for what the game is. And before we get to like sort of spoilers, if you want to talk spoilers about the game at all, but like, I think just talking about the card game, which is very fun and addictive, it like doesn't quite capture what makes the game so cool, is that it has incredible atmosphere. Like,
you're playing in this like cabin that's dark and dingy, and a guy that you can barely see across the table from you. It's very dark. Very,
like you said, you could get up and walk. You could walk around the cabin. There's puzzles in the cabin for you to solve, and it'll like result in you getting new cards that you could use. Like, it feeds directly into the card game.
Items that you can utilize, bonuses. There's like a totem that you can get. So like the totem gives you like your cards that are that type of, so like the easy one is you'll get the squirrel totem. So you'll always have a squirrel head, and then you can apply like special bonuses to all your squirrels. They're your resource card. And so like you could make them all flying squirrels so that, you know, it's, I don't know why you would do that, but you could, or you could make them so that they can't die when you sacrifice them. That one's very powerful. I think you got one, Jeff. I did as well.
It carried me through. I got a totem that was, you know, it turned all my squirrels into their one sacrifice counts as three.
Yeah.
So at all times I could summon my most powerful cards because, you know, they cost more resources. Well, just throwing one squirrel down was enough to lay powerful cards out.
Yeah.
Like when you get into the boss fights, the music I think is incredible and like just so atmospheric. Like I can like hear it in my head right now. I don't want to attempt it, but it's just so good.
The lighting changes, like maybe yeah. that's not an audio design, but like the lighting for the boss battles changes. So like it's normally like a, you know, campfire-ish glow.
But like when you would get into some of these boss fights, when the music like revs up like that, you were like noticing it, right? Like it's really awesome. Like I kind of want to see if the soundtrack is on Apple Music because I'm like, I don't know, man. Those boss fight songs are amazing. Like, so it's all these things around it, and we're not even touching on like yet. Again, I'll let you decide whether we go further into this. Like, what makes the game like even like? That alone would be like, this is like a game is like a 9 out of 10. I would recommend it. But like, there's just so much more to the game that is just a wonderful surprise. Like,
yeah,
over and over, like not just once. Like, we're just like, oh, this keeps getting crazier. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. It's like, there's multiple twists on the game. So, you'll complete a run and like, you know, in a normal game, as Jeff said, like there's enough here that you'd be like, oh, that was a fun like indie game. I want to play again because like, you know, the variables, the battles will change each time and your deck changes. So like, you know, it's how can I get through with this? But once you beat that boss, which you would think is the boss, the game then takes like a hard turn. And you're getting a little bit of this throughout the whole first, what we're going to call the first act. Like, you're getting weird like video overlay every once in a while, or like flashes occasionally. Like, I guess when you die, you'll go to this like realm where you'll see somebody painting and like that's giving you clues as to, so like, you know, there's something else going on. And then once you finally beat the boss in the cabin, things change from there. It never stops being a card game. It's always still a card game, but you know,
it's what something you're more doing
is different. Yeah,
it's a card game. what you learned in the first act of the game continues to be something that you use in combat. Like, the combat is always card based, but the game becomes, I think, so much more, and not just once, like twice, the game completely changes on you, jumping on this almost new, like it's almost like okay, here's the sequel to Inscription, and this is what we would do in a sequel. Here's what we would do in a sequel to that. Like, it's like really wild. And again, I'm like, I want to talk spoilers, but I'll let you decide on this. But like, there's things. I'll just say this: when I first reached the end of the boss of the third act, it like became like a found footage movie for a minute. Where's all these like tapes you find, and you're watching tapes of like an actual, like, not video game, like just someone talking. It's like this.
It's called the Lucky Carter. So he's like a card game like YouTuber, like where he He collects old, like, collectible card games, and opens them on stream. And so, like, you're getting that video footage, and then you're getting a story, like, wrapped around that video footage.
He's, like, being lured into the woods by, like, people are sending him stuff, and he, you know, he finds a physical manifestation of the game inscription in the woods, I think. Like, it just...
Yeah, he finds a floppy disk buried. He, like, gets coordinates on a card that he opened, like a card pack that he opens, and he goes to those coordinates, and, you know, it's, what did you call it before, Jeff? Geocaching?
Yeah, it's like geocaching.
So, something like that, where he goes to this location in the woods, and he digs up this box, and in the box it's like a floppy disk, and then, like, you know, you get a little bit of, like, goofiness of him trying to, who the fuck has a floppy disk, like, drive, like, so he's, like, buying a floppy disk. So it's like some mundane shit, but then he can play the game, and that's when Act Two starts, when he can finally access the floppy disk. And then when you finish Act Two, you get a little bit more of that. And then when you finish Act Three, you get the finale of all of that. And holy shit, I was not expecting the game to go where it goes.
It ends
very dark. Like,
it's like you kind of realize from the beginning you're playing like kind of like a horror game, but it's a card game. Like, I don't know, man. Like, by the end of the game, I was like, this is one of the best games I've ever played. Like, it really, like, I don't know. Like, the fundamental card mechanics are so awesome and addictive. And then you layer on all this atmosphere, this music, and the story, and these surprises, and the way the game completely changes up to be, like, different genres as it goes through while maintaining the card combat. I was just like, holy shit, dude. Like, how is this game not in the, like, game of the year discussion when it came out, which I think it came out in kind of a weaker year.
Came out in 2021.
I think it was the people who played it. I think people who played it were like, this should be game of the year. Like,
so I remember listening to the Giant Bombcast, like their game of the year podcast, and it came up on a couple people's, like, list, like, and they were lobbying for it to be on their overall, like, top 10 list. But yeah, and it's an indie game, and it's a card game. Like, I think that might have been why, like, maybe we just didn't poke at it, right, for a while. Like, hey, there's this cool, like, weird card game.
I had never heard of it. I somehow, like, avoided any new, like, here, I'll be honest. I saw, what's his name, Mark Bozon, tweet about it, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, because he was like, it is quite literally my favorite game of the last 10 years. I was like, okay. And then I was looking at recently released games on Game Pass, and there it was. And I was like, and I have Balatro to thank for this, because I was like, you know what? I like Balatro. Obviously, I already understand poker, so, like, I hate having to learn new card. I hate having to learn any new card game, board game. I hate it. But, you know, then once you get into it, you're like, you can see why people like it, whatever. I was like, I don't know. I'll give it a shot. I gave it a shot. An hour in, I was very intrigued. 2 hours in, I was pretty hooked. Like, 2 days in, I was like, I'm never going to get past, you know, because at this point, I had, like, read stuff about how the game itself is just the first act of something larger. I'm like, I'm never going to get past this. 2 days after that, I had gotten past that. Every time I reached a new act, I was like, I don't think I like this as much as, you know, what it was before. Especially in the third act, I was like, I really don't like what this is. But the deeper I got in the third act, I was like, no, this is actually pretty fucking neat how they changed the mechanics of it. And I don't know, man. Like, I said in my, like, little Twitter logging of it that, like, to me, this game is up there with the best games of this generation. It's up there with Elden Ring. It's up there with fucking Vampire Survivors. It's up there with Baldur's Gate 3 for me. Like, it's like one of those games where I had just beaten it now, and I have Call of Duty to play. I have, you know, plenty of other stuff to play, and I'm just, like, drawn to playing it again. I bought it on the Switch, so I'm, like, playing it for the first time on the Switch. I'm replaying it on Xbox, and it's just such an, like, I can't pull myself away from it because the card game is so compelling and it's just such a chill type of game. You know, if you're having a drink or two, you're just chilling, play some cards. Like, it's just, man, dude, I can't say enough good things about it. I can't, I think both Tony and Earl should really check it out. It obviously can't be part of our Game of the Year discussion from this year, but it's for your own, like, hey, this is something that you should check out. I can't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, Inscription. With a Y. INCRYPTION. I will say this, like, you played it on Xbox and you're playing it on Switch, right? So I was like, oh, I should be able to play this with it. So I installed it on my computer because it's like, why not? I mean, it's easy enough to do. And so I like set up my controller, plugged it in, and then I go to play it. And the only thing it would let me do with the controller on my PC was start the game. Like, I couldn't move or anything.
Doesn't have controller support. That sucks.
Or like, it just wasn't recognizing my controller. So I was like, I mean, it's like, and it's a card game, so it's just,
it's, you know, a point, great mouse game. It would feel good with a mouse, but yeah, you know, if you want to sit back.
Yeah, because it's like $8 on Steam right now. I mean, it's on Game Pass, so like,
it's $8 on Switch, or at least it was. I don't know if the sale's over. Yeah, and it's free on Xbox.
I was like, maybe I'll pick it up on Steam, because then I could just play it on my Steam Deck, because I think you're right. Like, it is a really good game to just kind of jump in and play a run of.
Yeah.
And then once you beat it, so as we've said, there's like three acts, you know, for this, and at the end of Act 1, kind of the game changes. But once you beat the game, you'll unlock it's called Casey's Mod, and it's the first act, but like with modifiers, and that's the game. Like, it's just playing that first act over and over again, with modifiers. So you don't have to go into Act 2, or 3. It's like, they're both different. They're both fun, and still card games. Just, I do think the first act is like where the gameplay is the strongest. The card game, I think, is the best in the first act.
How would you rank? Okay, how would you rank the acts though? Like, Act 1 is at the top.
I'd probably go 1, 3, 2.
Same.
I mean, and I really like
2. Is like great. 2 does. 2 is great. Yeah. 2 is really great. It's
and nice. And we're kind of beating around because, like, I think we'd like both Tony and Earl to play it. And I don't want to like, because like, I think part of the fun of the game too is like, I knew there was something that's going to happen in Act 2. I did not know what that was going to be. And then I did not know about Act 3. So like, sorry for spoiling that for you guys. There's another twist going into Act 3 that is completely different as well.
I kind of, like you, at some point knew that the game would change and that there were acts to it. But even still, I was like, wow, oh my god, like, you really changed this game up. But I think I said to you, Chris, imagine playing the game and knowing absolutely nothing, like none of what you said. Like, this is just a game you're trying out, you get good at it, you think you beat it, and then, oh, there's a whole nother game. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't imagine the surprise of people who played this when it first came out. Like, it must have been like just revelatory.
And I mean, it's an indie game, but for an indie game, like an indie card game,
it's high quality.
And it took me like 4 or 5 hours to beat that first act. So like,
yeah,
that's a decent amount of time for like an indie card game.
I probably put 10 hours in that first act. Like, to me, it was like the whole game. And I was like, oh, maybe there's a surprise. Like, I know something happens. And it was like, no, here we go. Here's a whole new game. The card mechanics? You should remember those, but
yeah. And then it's like all of a sudden it's like, hey, there's a whole new game.
Yeah. Parts me really like the third act the best. But like, I'll always go back to the first act because I think the atmosphere of the first act is just So good.
It's more fun. The guy you're playing, the crazy guy, he's like dropping, as I said, paper maps that you have like a little board game piece that you're moving through the map. So like has the most atmosphere. It's like the most like
when you are playing the game with him, you could the whole game you're like fighting cards against each other, right? But the object is there's like a scale, like a justice scale on the side that you're trying to tip all the way down so then you win, right? And like one of the things you could do in the first act is like pull one of your teeth out to help weigh the scale down against him. Or later on you get a knife and you can stab your eye out and that weighs even more and it could weigh down his side of the scale. Like, I don't know, dude, it's so fucking cool, dude. Like
the tooth is like one chip, so it's only you're not
one. Yeah.
But the eyeball is five, or it's depends. If there's nothing on the scale, it's an automatic win. And if there is something on the scale, then it like you still need one more. But yeah. And then he opens up, if you beat him after ripping her eye out, he then opens up a box of eyeballs and like offers you one.
Give you an eye, like a fake eye to put in your socket.
He gives it back.
He gives you
he's giving you glass eyes. Here's a glass eye for you.
And that's actually part of like if you pick a certain eyeball, it like it'll help you unlock puzzles in the room.
Because you'll see hidden messages in the room if you put the eyeball in. Like that's what we're talking about here. It's like there's a very addictive and a compelling card game, and then like on top of it is layered this really neat like idea and like you know just all sorts of like cool like mystery and I don't know, man.
Jeff, you played right? Like there's a thing you need in the first run to actually end it.
Yes, and I didn't have it. I beat the first act, and I didn't have a thing. You had to have a thing in your hand from around the cabin. I didn't have it on me, and so I didn't get to advance. I had to play through the whole first act again.
So what happens there? Does he like just kill you again? Like take
you
your
just
photo
like and... I was very confused because I was like, you get to walk out, you go into another cabin, you find the tapes, you watch all these tapes, you're like, oh shit, what the fuck. And then you just end up back at the beginning again. And he's like, hello, traveler. We haven't played in a while. You know what I mean? And you're just like, I was like, I thought there was more to this game. Like, I was Googling, like, what the fuck? Like, it just started over. And then I figured out it's because I didn't have a certain thing in my hand.
Yeah.
To advance the story.
Really, really cool game.
It's again. I think one of the best games of the generation. It's a 10 out of 10 for me. Like, hard 10 out of 10.
I don't know if I'm quite as high as Jeff is on it, but I really liked it. So. You mentioned Black Ops 6. Jeff, did you get to play any of it?
Yeah, I played about the first 4 or 5 missions of the campaign, and I've played a little bit of the multiplayer. No zombies yet. Those are the 3 components this time.
I played the first 2 missions and 1 round of multiplayer.
So the first mission, nothing really special. You're just like going not straight down a line, and it does the thing that Call of Duty games do. Like the missions build to this big like action set piece at the end that feels like out of a movie. I think the first one, you're like in the back of a Humvee, you're like shooting rockets at a fucking helicopter that's chasing you, right? And the other thing for me is like, I'm one of these people, I think the campaign has been good, like generally for like years, but I especially liked the last one in this series, like the Black Ops Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good, and it's not like a lot of the reviews are acting like this is like doing something completely new, and it's like no, like Black Ops Cold War did like interesting, they had interesting missions too, But so far, every mission I've done has been different in some gigantic way. And I kind of like that for this series. Like, where it's not just one thing. It's like every level could be like a different kind of thing. And so, like, one of the last missions I did tonight where it became like an open world map. And there were three, like, kind of like towers I had to take down. Like, you know, like, sites had to take it down and shoot their Scud missile launcher. But it's like on a big map, and I'm in a Jeep, and I got, like, you know, guys riding with me, and you can kind of approach things how you want, or there's all sorts of points of interest besides the main thing. Mostly it's just supply shit. But, yeah, so far I think that the single player is very good. Like, I love that each mission is trying to do something. And I think one...
They've added like a weird upgrade kind of
mechanic. Yes, that's what I was just getting to, yeah.
Where you have to like get cash and stuff, right?
So like, I don't know why I think about like my comparison is a game that no one else has ever played, but Splinter Cell Blacklist, where you're like, you had that airplane you're flying around in, and like that was your base between missions, and you could like build it up. But so like here between missions, like, you're like in this fucking mansion that you found in Iraq, and you get like build it up. Like, so you go out, you do a mission. If you're looking around, you know, during a mission, you can like find a safe and figure out how to crack the safe, and there's money in the safe, and that money is used to spend to build up your base, like in this mansion, like this base of operations. And it's like, you know, you can build a weapon bench, you can build a gear bench. And then from there, you're like buying and applying perks to you as you would in the multiplayer, which I think is like really cool. Like, because that sense of progression that you get from the multiplayer has never been in the single player campaign, but now it's here. So yeah. I think that's very cool. The multiplayer, I think, is also very good too. Once again, like, you're talking to someone that like generally likes this series lately. So like, it was kind of weird to me to see like the reviews be so glowing, and I'm playing it, I'm like, yeah, there's things they've improved upon, but like, it's been pretty good for a while, I thought. But you said you played some of it, Chris?
I did. So I played that the first mission, and then the second one, which is it's more of like a stealthy mission to start with. And then see, there's like a couple different ways to get where you're going. Like, you can go for a swim, or you can like kind of work around the outside, or you can just frontal assault it, I guess. And then like you do a sniper mission from the top, and then you're trying to exfil from there. Like, it's very, as you said, with the first mission, it's very like, hey, you know, it's kind of like out of a movie. It's kind of how all this stuff seems. It's like out of a Mission Impossible film. Like some of the slower bits are like, you know, where, you know, Ethan Hunt will be sneaking around or something.
Yeah,
that's kind of how this all feels. It just feels really good. And then, you know, you go back, you have your house that you're upgrading, and I was like, what? Because, like, when you start out, you don't have any. There's, like, nothing. And they're like, you could upgrade something. They kind of give you, like, a little tutorial on it. So I upgraded the weapons bench and then, like, went into that. And then you just see, like, this long list of, like, things you can buy that add on. I was like, all right, that's pretty cool. But that's as far as I got in the campaign. And then I played a round of multiplayer. The map was neat-ish. It was kind of small. yeah, like it's, you know, it wasn't like super impressive. Like, it's like sometimes Call of Duty has like really, really cool maps. Like, there's like the airplane level from, I think it was Modern Warfare 2, like the original one.
I immediately remembered what you're talking about.
Like the cruise ship from, I think it's Black Ops 2. Like, there's some like really iconic maps. Like, the map I played here is just, it's a generic arena. You know,
what do you mean arena, though? Like, because there's there's a map that is a soccer stadium. That's probably my favorite.
No, so it's not that. It's like, okay, there's a building with like that has like four entrances and exits, but it's kind of like open area. And then there's like some like smaller buildings on the outside. So it's just like, it's like a box. Like it's not, it wasn't like, oh wow, this is like a really cool looking one. And I was playing Kill Confirmed, and that's Kill Confirmed, right? Like
that's all I play. I turn my filters to Kill Confirmed and Team Deathmatch.
Yeah, that's immediately what I did. Like they're the only two I really like to play.
Same. Yeah.
And I got the full Call of Duty experience in that one match where somebody was there's one guy on mic and he was angry at our team because and they were bad. I looked at
all scrubs.
Yeah, like we're playing Kill Confirm. The object is to confirm the kills, so you're supposed to pick up the tags. And he this guy had like 23 of our 40 something. Had 13. And then like the other guy had like 8 and 5. Like it wasn't good. Like they just were not picking shit up. And so he's getting really angry and then cursing at us, like telling us how bad we are, how stupid. It's like, oh, this is Call of Duty. Like, I mean, nobody's called me a racial slur yet, but
it'll happen.
It's probably not that far off. So yeah, it's Call of Duty. Like I'll play it. Seemed fun. Like I didn't level up, so I didn't get that. I don't know if you get that like used to get like
you get it after the match. It doesn't happen in
match. It doesn't happen during the match. Okay, because it used to get it like during the match.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was always fun. Yeah.
And yeah, after the match, you get like you have like a ring that fills up, and it got like right to the edge. Like if I had gotten maybe one more kill, it would have gone over. So. I didn't get that dopamine rush. But your guns also level up too. That's been something that's been going on for a while. Where your guns all have levels as well.
And I finally started to feel good after I got extended mag.
Yeah.
Because I was like spray and pray for a second and then focus. Like then aim at something.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have that extra mag. Like, you know, extra bullets so you can keep going, because otherwise I would lose the encounter.
Yes. And time to kill. I mean, time to kill in Call of Duty has always been super fast, but yeah, that hasn't changed here. So there are people that are, you know, I started out, opened it up today, first day in what were 5 days since the game launched, 5-6 maybe. There was a guy who was level 46.
Yeah, it's
in my match. Like,
I like
this max. Like, 55 is where you prestige at.
I accept that I've always like been bad at online shooters, and I just kind of suck. But like,
we know.
I know, and it's still fun enough. Like, Call of Duty is still fun enough to me, though. That like, I will play it for those matches where I do good, like, oh yeah, like I had a good run on that one, and they string you along with all like the upgrades and you start to feel better about certain things. It's just fun. It's just fun. Like, I don't care. I suck. Whatever. Like,
I'll hit that point as well. Like, you will eventually hit a match where you're the best player that they've paired you with, and like that always feels good to just kind of dominate.
Hey,
like in that game.
Last night, I fucking hit a match where I did really well. I was in the top three players, so they showed us at the end, like they showcased us at the end. I got to do an emote, and I was like, you know what? That was awesome. I'm happy. Like, it's stupid, but it's just like I got to show off at the end and like kind of taunt the other team. I like that.
Before we move off of Call of Duty, Jeff, did it have to update like 6 times before it allowed you to play?
No.
Okay. So I downloaded it. I think last Friday I downloaded it, but I hadn't played until today.
Yeah.
And so like I booted it up, and like, you know, as soon as the Call of Duty logo comes up, it was like, update needed. We'll restart. So I press A.
Yeah.
And so then it like updates. And it brings me back to the main menu. I press A again. It's like, all right. So then it's like, yep. The menu, I think, very busy. I don't like it. There's like a lot going on because you can choose all the different Call of Duties that have come out in like the last 7 years.
Yeah, I'd like to say a piece on that. I don't like that.
It's horrible.
Just make the game separate. I don't like going into a launcher where it's like you could play all these other things. And also when you try to go download the game initially, they want you to download every Call of Duty game that's come out. And you're like, no, dude, I'm trying to play the new Call of Duty. I don't like how it's under this umbrella. Like, I just do not like that. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Let me just play Black Ops 6. Where am I playing Black Ops 6? Let me choose Black Ops 6.
Yeah. So it's kind of a mess. But so, like, I picked Black Ops 6 to play. It was like, update needed. We'll restart.
I did not download it till like the day it was coming out. So that might have been part of it.
Maybe. But it was just weird because you would have thought the first update that it said to we'll restart, it would have done it. And then when I picked Black Ops 6, you would have thought that did it. And then it did it a third time when I hit campaign. It was like, update needed. Campaign, we'll restart. And I was like, you've already restarted twice. Why do we need to do this? Why couldn't you just download whatever the hell you needed the first two times? That was frustrating. So then I had to like navigate the whole fucking menu again. But once you're in there, it's just like playing any normal Call of Duty. Like there's the main Call of Duty Black Ops 6 menu, and it's fine.
The only thing I haven't tried yet is Zombies, which I also hear is good, but I've never gotten into Zombies yet. Maybe this will be the first. I don't know.
And the way Zombies is, like, I don't know what the good Zombies is or the bad zombie, because like some Zombies,
I don't know. I'm with you.
I don't know if this is
the good one, Chris. Apparently,
that's what they say. But yeah. I'm also like you, Jeff. Like, I've just never really like cared about Zombies. Like, I just don't think it's particularly great.
Yeah, I don't know. I did buy a new mic for my Xbox so I could play it with people. So, we'll try it out.
All right, we'll do that. Earl,
howdy.
Have you played
any? Earl is here.
Yes, he snuck in
the entire time.
He's just liar. He's watching us in the corner.
No, I've actually. It's just been recycling some old games, more Prince of Persia, more RoboQuest, more Tron, Trin. I always say Tron. I don't know why.
Trine.
Yeah. Nothing.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is either.
I wasn't excited until brought the ship.
All right. Well, if nothing super exciting there, I'll touch on two that I played before we jump in the news. So I think Jeff had mentioned this a few weeks ago, that there was going to be a Halloween game. Halloween as in like John Carpenter's Halloween with Michael Myers.
As a side scroller where you are Michael, correct?
Correct. And alongside that, there's another there's an Ash vs. Evil Dead game, also a side scroller, where you play as Ash, and it's all part of this package called Retro Realms Arcade, which is by WayForward, who we played Contra earlier this year. I was at Operation Galuga.
Yeah.
A good side scrolling, like they do a lot of like pixel art type games, like that type of stuff. So this kind of fits in their wheelhouse. I played both Halloween and Ash vs. Evil Dead. Halloween, while I like it, very weird concept. Like you start off in like Smith's Grove, like the insane asylum that Michael's in that he escapes from, except like you're killing people in, like, it's not just I'm gonna escape, like you're killing other inmates that have been possessed by some demon, and then there's like a boss battle against some crazy guy, and the second level is then in the it's like the garage where he gets his coveralls at in the movie. And you fight like a truck, like that's the boss in that one. But the game goes really off the rails.
At least, I mean, that's like somewhat like I always picture like the old LJN NES games that would like do like it'd be like Freddy Krueger and you're fighting snakes and it's just like what is this? Like this is makes
no sense. Well, so the third level
I was
yeah, it makes zero sense. I mean, it, like the locations at least do make sense up until the very end. But the third level is culminated with you fighting. It's a dual boss of Lori and Dr. Loomis. And so on one platform, Lori is tossing energized knitting needles at you.
Yeah.
And on the other side, Dr. Loomis is tossing grenades at you.
Grenades.
I mean, at least it's like characters you know.
So goofy. So dumb. But you kill them in the third chapter, in the third world, and there are five of these. Just keeps going after that. I think the final boss in Halloween is terrible. It can be half in the dark. Like the boss has the ability to make everything dark and you can't see anything except Michael, which makes it really hard to attack a boss if you can't see them.
Harder, Chris. Try harder.
I did. I beat it, but I beat it by like scamming the game by there's a, you know, just like in Castlevania, there's like a sub weapon that you can get. So Michael can get a bolo. And the bolo stuns enemies. So I would jump, hope I didn't hit the boss, and throw the bolo, and it would stun
like,
the boss.
Like a bolo tie? Where,
like a... I guess? I don't know. It's more... Think of, like, two balls on the end of something.
Okay,
all right. Like, have you ever played, like, lawn... Like the... It's like one of those lawn games where you toss, like, it has two balls on the end of it, and you toss
it'll it. It'll wrap around something.
Yeah, it wraps around. So it's like that. So I don't know why Michael has that as a sub-weapon. It makes zero sense. I don't know. But you throw it, and it would stun the boss, and then, like, when something's stunned, it has, like, a little star meter that goes down, so I would know where the boss was. That's
I'm kind of shocked Earl does not have these games right now.
I think it's like 25 or 35.
Yeah, it's insane.
They're not.
It should be 25 for both or something. I don't know. Like, agreed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got them on, like, they had a like first day sale or like right before but they were still not cheap. Like, I think I got them for 15 each. And even that, maybe a little costly. Because if you buy them now, it's 25 per game plus a $5 character pack for each. So, like, because I got them before they came out, I was able to get Halloween and the Laurie Strode pack. And then
that's Laurie Strode.
This game is, these games are so, like, they're designed to rip you off.
Yeah. You can play as Laurie. Like, there's a character selection. So, like, I'll give it this. So, if you buy Ash vs. Evil Dead at Halloween, when you go into Halloween, you can play as Ash. Like, he is on the character select screen. Like, you can... And they have, you know, little stupid dialogue for, like, how the game starts as to, like, why is Ash here? Why is he there? Or why is Lori in the Ash game? So, yeah, I think that's cute, at least. But the Ash vs. Evil Dead game is way better. Ash plays better. Like, his, you know, he has the chainsaw for an arm. It works a little bit better than Michael's short knife. Ash actually has like a ranged attack, which, you know, so there's a charge. You press down on X and like you'll charge up Michael or Ash. And Michael's charge attack is like this big dash across the screen with the knife. Ash is just like he'll shoot a shotgun.
Wait, hold on. So the guy who's famously very slow and methodical
goes very fast across the screen.
It could be, you know.
Exactly. It's
different iterations, you know.
I don't know. Is there an iteration where he was fast?
Maybe Rob Zombie.
You know, I was thinking of, yeah, and Rob Zombie, he is kind of aggressive.
I was thinking of Jason Voorhees in the remake. He's very aggressive, like very fast.
But that's Jason has some of those quirks, especially when he's human. He becomes more monstrous when he meets the undead. But Michael, very famously, very so
generally still.
He's not. He's not chasing. No, like, I mean, he's chasing you, but it's like, I'm just gonna get you when I get you.
So you think he's like generally okay, but maybe overpriced, or?
So I think the Halloween one is fine. I actually think the Ash vs. Evil Dead game is actually really good.
Like, excellent.
It's a really good 2D kind of retro action platformer. I think Ash just plays better. Like the moves stacks, they've given him, the control they've given him, the conceptually Ash vs. Evil Dead makes sense in this context, because Ash would fight a bunch of deadites, right? Like, he'd go through levels.
He's killing zombies.
Where Michael's not going through. Like, yes, he's going to kill a bunch of people, but he's not killing
crows demons that fly down in front of him or something.
He's not killing like these weird zombie creatures, because that doesn't exist in Halloween.
I just I'm gonna have to wait for the Halloween one to go on sale, and that's all I'll get. I just don't have any love for Evil Dead. Sorry.
Circling back on all that though, so it's all around this Retro Realms arcade. So when you start the game up, you start in it's a 3D space where you enter into an arcade, and like, you know, if you have both games, then, you know, Ash vs. Evil Dead is on the left, Halloween's on the right. It looks like they're going to have more games as well in the arcade, because there's four other cabinets that have a sheet over them. But after you play the game once, then you can open up the video room, and in there's like some documentary stuff on like the making of the games.
Okay.
And like, you know, the horror influences that they had. Like, they're not like, it's not Atari 50 like quality stuff, but it's like some neat little bonus features on that. And then in the back of the arcade, there are these trophy rooms, I guess. And as you play, you're unlocked, like, you could find like little tickets and stuff in the game. And you can then use those tickets in the arcade to buy like dioramas of you can get Michael's clown costume, like that he wore when he first murdered his sister. And you can, it's like in a display case in the back. So like, you can then like fill out this room with like different Halloween memorabilia, which I thought was pretty neat. I wish that stuff had like a little bit of history tied to it. Like, you know, like a little blurb or something.
Yeah.
But instead, it's just like a, you know, a 3D space where you can like look at these things nicely modeled. But there's a little bit more to it than just, you know, here's these goofy arcade games that they've made today. But I would not spend $25 on them if I were you.
Yeah. I wonder if those hidden arcade cabinets are just wishful thinking by them, or if there are games coming out.
Yeah, it could very well be that.
Oh, we're gonna get the Friday the 13th license for this.
I don't know if anybody wants to deal with the Friday the 13th stuff right now, because I mean, part of the reason the game went down is because the license itself is
there. I could see them trying to do something goofy like Hellraiser or Child's Play.
I think Chucky would make a good one. I did make a good one.
So I mean, there's options out there for them. Whether they make any sense as a game, no. but they're not bad, like little, you know, 16-bit or so looking action platformers. And one final one before we jump in the news. Do you guys know about Bloodborne Cart? You guys hear anything about that for a while ago?
No.
I think I removed that from my memory.
So Bloodborne, the PlayStation 4 game that everyone loves, you know, I don't, but and Jeff, I don't think you do either, right?
I don't
hate it, but it's not your favorite of the From games.
totally get like why people love it for sure. Yeah.
So somebody a while ago, they started making what they called a Bloodborne demake, which was like a Bloodborne kind of like make Bloodborne, but in the style of a PlayStation 1 game. And then alongside that, I guess as a joke, they decided they were going to make Bloodborne Kart, which would go along with, you know, how things in the PlayStation 1 era worked, where, you know, oh, we're here's this thing, and here's this totally inappropriate kart game to go alongside it at some point down the line. Sony eventually told them, you guys got to stop. Like, you can't use our property for your weird free game. But what I found out is that they retrofitted it. They changed it into something called Nightmare Kart, and they released it on Steam for free. So it is a PlayStation 1 kart racer that looks an awful lot like characters from Bloodborne made in PlayStation 1 era looking graphics, but with any mention of Bloodborne removed from it. And it's not bad. Like, it's actually kind of fun. I don't think it's great, but it's kind of fun. What was that, Earl?
I said that's what you can ask for sometimes. It's like, yes, it's a little fun side project that actually turned out decent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's neat. And they released it for free. So if you want to play like a dumb kart racer, go download Nightmare Kart. Like, it's really, really stupid, but I'm glad that, you know, they were able to meet their vision and were able to get it out there. Kind of fun. I might do a cart corner on that when I finish it. So news. Earl, you got any news? Any news happen this week?
Have you folks covered anything?
No, not yet.
Well, I mean, I guess the big news of the week, but I shouldn't say with tea or excitement, is the Firewatch developers, the Concord developers, being closed down and Concord being completely mothballed now.
Did they say that it was mothballed?
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Let me see if I can pull up their exact wording. But I think they said that they, you know, they looked into it when they took it offline and realized the best course of action was to not continue onward, essentially. Which, I mean, I don't think any of us are surprised by.
No.
Regarding Firewalk, as announced in early September, certain aspects of Concord were exceptional, but others did not end with enough players, and as a result, we took the game offline. We have spent considerable time these past few months exploring all of our options. After much thought, we have determined the best path forward is to permanently sunset the game and close the studio. So yeah, and they say months. This was 5 weeks ago? But yeah. And in addition to that, they closed, I believe, a mobile studio, Neo Koi. I don't know what they did. But yeah, it kind of sucks to invest in this company, have them release one game, and then pretty much be like, okay, shit out of luck, gotta go now.
Well, to be fair, it's the only game they've ever made. So
yeah, which is also, you know, but yeah, it's an utter bummer. And I mean, it didn't sound like it was a bad game. It just sounds like nobody knew it existed.
I mean, I was reading an article about it, and apparently it got really bad. Like, off the initial trailer, there was a lot of really bad feedback. And like, there just never seemed to be any sort of positive energy around it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even say, because I honestly did not know the game existed. But yeah, it sucks. It's terrible. But hearts go out for studios that close, especially after one game. It's a rough industry. And I mean, I guess on that same note, I think Kat had a couple of layoffs today as well. At this point, I honestly don't remember who owns who. I think they're owned by Fandom. I don't know how many parent companies.
Fandom owns GameSpot, yeah.
Yes. And this is after they were owned by Paramount? Or is that Fandom part of Paramount?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, again, I've always seen if, you know, people mention it. I don't know if people gave a heads up. But yeah, you know, never anything great with that. So yeah, that was kind of the, I don't want to say bummer talk, but yeah. And other weird, hooky, crazy news, I guess. You know, everybody's excited for a Switch 2 announcement any day now from Nintendo, any month now, any year now, who knows.
Canceled.
Nintendo did the thing everybody was excited for, and they announced Nintendo Music, which is a extension of NSO, which is essentially Nintendo Spotify, which allows you to stream Nintendo music on your smartphones and Switch on tonight. And yeah, it's very much like Spotify. You go, you can pick, they have a couple of games. They don't have their entire library, which is both the most Nintendo thing ever and like, why would you just not?
That doesn't Spotify have their full library?
I feel like Nintendo Music wasn't on Spotify.
Or Amazon Music. I've definitely played things.
I'm sure, like, there's stuff on, YouTube and stuff, but I don't, it's always hard to say if it's from Nintendo, if it's from other people. But yeah, I mean, looking at this now, there's literally only 8 games from the Switch, 2, a game and a half from the Wii, because it's Mario Galaxy, and then they have the Wii channels, like the Wii Shop, the Wii Menu, Mii Plaza, Mii Parade. I'm gonna have to listen to that tonight. Nintendo DS has 2. OU Metroid Prime for GameCube. So there's a lot of stuff that can be done here. The NES OU has Mario Brothers and Metroid, and then I didn't realize Metroid in Japan had a different soundtrack.
That's weird.
Yeah, so I assume they will drip feed it out like they do with everything else. On the flip side, on the positive side, is they also announced Xenoblade X, not Chronicles, because this is not. So Xenoblade X is the Xenoblade title that was released on the Wii U, and it's more of an it's an open world game in general, but it's actually more of an MMO than Xenoblade Chronicles, which is more narrative driven.
It is Chronicles X though.
Is it Chronicles X?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I always thought it was Xenoblade X. Yeah. I'm looking forward. Like, honestly, let me not say that. I will buy it because I'm a simp. But I'm hoping my big. I paid all of them. My biggest issue with this game at the time, is the party system is really weird. In the sense that it's a, and I don't know. Maybe I don't play enough RPGs. Maybe more other RPGs do this. But in order to switch out your characters, you have to physically find them on the map. And
that is a little weird. Normally, you just go to like a menu or place. Yeah.
No, but like you'd have to like, okay, I need X, Y, because there are certain people you need either for a specific mission, or they need to be a certain level for you to complete a mission. So it's like, okay. So you would think, okay, I can just swap them out or something. It's like, no, you have to go back to the hub world and remember where they are. And again, I'm sure after a while you memorize it. I just always forgot where they were. I'd run around for 5 minutes being like, I know one's in the hangar. I don't know who it is in the hangar. It's not the person I need. So I got to go to the kitchen. And you're just like running around. And then you have to talk to them to get them. I'm like, yeah, there's ways to make this easier. I don't understand why the system exists. I understand kind of wanting to make the world more full and making it so that you're actively participating Like, yeah, people are participating in the world, but like, yeah, I don't need that for this part. It just makes it more tedious than it needs to be, especially when you are purposely having a gatekeeping certain characters from progressing in this story. But yes, this is coming out on the Switch. I think they March 25th was. It's March of 2025, so next year, they will tell more features, I guess. And just to kind of wrap up the mini Nintendo section, I believe this week we got Banjo-Tooie and Turok 2 and Shadow Man on NSO expansion pack. Banjo-Tooie, you know, it's always fun to see for people. The other two are weird. Not so much, you know, it's nice to get older random games. But both of them actually do have remakes from this generation. Mm-hmm. There is a Night Dive Studios ported over Turok 2, and they're on the Switch. So it's like there are better versions of the game on that same system.
Yeah, Turok, I think Turok 1, 2, and 3 all got remakes. Or remasters, at least, that are out there.
Yeah, so we shall see. In Earl news, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Readers Rewind finally got a date coming out December 10th. If you don't know what that is, it is a Power Rangers beat 'em up from Digital Eclipse team, of course, because Power Rangers always exist in that bubble. It is it focuses on Mighty Morphin. So I mean, and the name. So it's like, you know, Zach, Trini, Billy, Kim, Jason. They announced Tommy's an unlockable character. I mean, shocking. So yes, that is out December 10th. I'm looking forward to it. It's great. You know, beat 'em up.
Just, I mean, we know Earl, you know, clearly Power Rangers fan. Do you guys have any affinity for Power Rangers?
No.
Not in the past 20 years, no.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't, maybe I was, I just wonder if I was, like, too old for
you,
Power Rangers.
I was too old, you were too old.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was, like, when it came out, I was like, oh, this is for kids, like.
I was going to say, I think this is one of those things where, because of my slightly being younger, it worked out.
Power Rangers was way bigger, like, a few years younger than me.
Yeah, no, I'm happy you're getting, like, something cool. Like, I was just, like, I just never understood Power Rangers, because, like, it's just, my friends weren't into Power Rangers, which makes sense. Like, if it's, like, maybe I'm just, like, 5-6 years past Power Rangers, so.
Yeah, because it came out at the perfect, literally, I think I was 8 when Power Rangers came out, which is kind of, like, the perfect kind of, like, young boy, it's colorful people jumping around. And,
yeah.
But yes, it's a very interesting thing, because I think there's people who are slightly older who aren't into it, and then there's a little phase where people who are slightly younger aren't, and then I think people, I mean, again, I don't think it ever reached the nexus as it was in the early 90s, but there are different, like, there's even shows, kind of the same thing with Ninja Turtles, where I think there's a certain era of Ninja Turtles that people love, and then it kind of dies down in the 90s, because it's like, no, the TV show isn't as big. The movies dry up, and then it kind of has a resurgence. I wouldn't even say 2003, because 2003, I think, was a lot for those kids who grew up with Ninja Turtles are now teenagers, so let's give them a show. I would say when it came back in 2012, that really was a bigger thing, and I think it rode that way for 5 or 6 years, and now it's kind of in a weird place where, again, it exists, but I don't think it has the zeitgeist around kids as it, you know. Again, at least none of the kids I know. so yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for it. You know, especially, I assume, most of you are online co-op, but you know what they say about assuming, you'll make an ass out of you and me. Yeah. So, what else is this week?
Not much.
We got Indiana Jones previews.
There was the previews of that and the Dragon Age reviews hit. Seems pretty positive, right?
Am I the only one that is like thinking about getting Dragon Age? Because it looks pretty good.
No, I'm going to get it. I don't know if I'll get it like on launch day, but it'll might be.
Yeah, I don't know about launch day because I'm still playing Black Ops, but yeah.
I'm still playing MechWarrior, and I still need to get through Star Wars.
And you guys might be able to wait like 3 weeks and get it on a slightly better sale. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like 10% off, it's better than...
You know what's funny is when I get through Call of Duty, I'll be kind of caught up on like my games. And like all I've been thinking about playing is Baldur's Gate 3 again. So it's like, I might just do that. Because I know it's going to be amazing. Like,
speaking of 2024 games, Tony, did you ever play more of or ever play any of Space Marine?
I played, maybe an hour and a half of it.
Okay.
Did I talk about it? I don't even remember.
I don't know. That's why I was like, I thought we've talked about it, but I don't remember if we talked about it on the show or not.
It's fine. I don't like.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
That was one that just had like a lot of hype to it in September.
Yeah. Like, it feels very similar to the zombie games that the same studio made, where there's like hordes and hordes of enemies fighting all at once.
Yeah. They did.
Was it World War Z?
Yeah. Which was fun. But it was fun when we played together.
Yeah. So I think this is it's meant to be played co-op, and that's fine. But like, I think a large part of those games is the playing together element is the fun part. And like, as a game in and of itself, I mean, I don't love how scarce the ammo is in the game. Like, there's a lot of focus on melee combat, and you're like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So,
what's the zombie game that we played, Earl? Oh, was it
World War Z?
Well, we played a little bit of that one, but the one I think we finished all the way. Zombie Army.
Oh, Zombie Army. Yeah,
that one was fun.
Yeah.
But again, it was like, it's fun, I think, because we're all playing together and it was dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
if we all got into this guy, I think it might be enjoyable if we all played as a group. But like, I kind of missed the boat. I don't know that you guys got it, so.
I did not get it yet. It might just be like, I just wait for a good sale to come across.
And maybe it just sits on my hard drive and waits for that day.
Okay.
Maybe that's what happens.
Yeah, I think that might be it, Earl.
I thought it was a more eventful week, but maybe it was more eventful for other stuff.
I mean, it was definitely eventful for other stuff.
I don't remember if this was announced ahead. Well, I mean, just as a heads up, and I will probably get it. I'm not around next week, but what is it? The Vampire Survivor Castlevania DLC should be hitting today or on Halloween. So by the time you hear this, it should be out. And that's always exciting.
Yes. All their stuff has been really good. Jeff liked the Contra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking forward to the Castlevania stuff.
Yeah, it's such a weird. Again, like, it's such a, because even when I try to explain it, it shouldn't work.
Vampire Survivor. No, it shouldn't.
But it's so good.
Yeah, it's a great game.
And trying to explain it to somebody honestly makes you seem insane. Like, you don't attack? Like, what? You just walk around?
Yeah, I think it was Jeff who tried to explain it to me on the podcast. And for the next of me, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Because it's like, you move, but you don't attack. It's very passive. And it's like, no, you are actually very engaged with the game.
Yeah, you're constantly doing stuff.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the first time I beat it, I got a build where I didn't have to move. It was like the guards, like nobody could come within, like, you know, coming within a giant radius of me.
There are builds that totally are fucking broken.
Yes. But that's part of the fun, I think, is hey, you get that build and like, oh, I need to get this again, or can I do it without that build? And can I beat other stages? So yeah, fantastic game. I like the little DLC, the little tie-ins. I think less so. Dead Cells also tries, because Dead Cells has Castlevania DLC.
It does, but
that's more action-oriented. There is a, I don't want to say there's not an element of skill in Vampire Survivor, but I do think it's something that is approachable by other people.
Yeah.
Dead Cells is already like more, it's already more like Castlevania because it's a side-scrolling kind of a, you know, big map that you're moving around. Just so happens that if you die playing that, then you have to start over. But
Vampire Survivors, anyone can play. You know, it's just,
yes.
Whether they'll get like, so like, I remember trying to show it, you know, I was trying to show it off to her kid and her boyfriend, like, and they were just like, you play one match of Vampire Survivors, you don't really get it. You're just like, all right, what was that? Like,
yeah, that's exactly how I felt the first time I played. Yeah. It's like, eh, I mean, this is fine. And it's not until you get like a really good run that it clicks.
And just like, and you know, you're leveling things up and yeah, it gets its hooks into you quickly, but like,
yeah.
At first you're just like, I didn't feel like I was an active part of this. And this is one of another of a million like roguelike games. Like what is, you know, who cares? But, man, it has become one of my favorite games ever.
And when did you say that was, Earl?
Today. It's going to be Halloween, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Ooh, spooky.
Some fun Halloween releases. There's that. There's something else tomorrow.
Is Dragon Age tomorrow?
Dragon Age. The Substance drops on digital, you know, purchase.
It's also on
Mubi.
Mubi?
Yeah.
Mubi?
Yeah. Don't.
It's their movie. Like, they made it.
Yeah. Like, I stream in services, but it does get to a point now where I'm like, okay, they feel like they're making it up. I've seen it before, but every time I see it, I'm like, it feels like somebody just, like, it's like a fake Tubi.
Like I'm so mad. I'm subscribed to Peacock for some reason. I'm just like, why am I keeping this around? I don't know.
Because Monday Night Football, baby.
And they do have like they do get like new recent movies that are like Universal movies and stuff like that. And I don't know, like it's okay, but do I use it regularly? Not really. Like I don't know. None of them I use regularly. It's whatever new thing is on whatever platform that week, and you have to have all the platforms.
You just cycle through. Like, just only subscribe to the
platform. That's what my friend does. My friend subscribes to one, and then, like, 3 months later, he chooses another, and he's like, now I have all these awesome things to catch up on. And I'm like, he's probably doing it the right way. It's just, like, the not lazy way.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like they're all so small. It's like, fine, I can suck.
I can do a fiver here, fiver there. Yeah.
Earl, is the WWE stuff still on Peacock, or is that moved?
It will be. It's going to be weird, I think, because I think the pay-per-views or PLEs or whatever they want to call it will continue to be on Peacock for a while, but I think Raw is moving to Netflix, well, in the new year, so that's
going
to set it up. But yes, that is why I have Peacock. But also, I think with Peacock, and maybe I get screwed over this year, I get the Black Friday deal. So I just canceled it. So it should expire sometime in November, and hoping that they have another Black Friday deal. So I can get it. I think I got paid $20 for the year.
Yeah, they did that once.
They do it a lot. So, I mean, I will. I've gotten accustomed to ads. I think a lot of ad-based services do something really great, sometimes really awful. But a lot of them are like, watch 3 minutes of commercials at the start, and then we'll be on to watch your movie. I'm like, fantastic. That's all I want to. I don't
even mind. Like, is it Peacock that does the timer on it? Tubi does that too, but they cut into the middle. And it's like, oh, well, I know this is going to be 180 seconds or whatever. Yes. I can get up and leave.
It. Like, Peacock would be like, watch these ads. Now you can watch the movie. Like, I don't think they interrupted after that with the basic plan. I will say this.
Yeah.
When I signed up for the basic plan like a year ago, it was $5. And I saw the bill on it today. It was like $6 or $7 or $8 dollars. I was like, it's almost like doubled in a year for a platform that like nobody really seems to give a fuck about.
And I think that's the other thing, because I don't think it's for us yet, but I know my friend in Canada was complaining that Disney Plus is doing their second
all of them do this. Like,
yes, but it's like an annual thing, and it part of it is like, now that they're all kind of cutting back on sharing, that it's harder to it's harder to justify. And I think it's going to get to a point where, at least for me, where like, I'm going to be like your friend, where I'm like, I'm going to have Netflix for I'm going to have Netflix. But you know, you have Netflix for a couple of months, you have Peacock for a couple of months, you do without. Or I mean, honestly speaking, I know how to pirate. I'm going to spade to spade. I know how to find your shows. I'm trying to do the responsible thing and, you know, pay for these services as best as I can. But I'm not going to spend $100 and some odd on cable 2.0.
Yeah.
It really is.
I think we need to adopt your friend's your friend's strategy, Jeff, where cancel this when we're not watching it, and then, you know, we could cycle back.
It is a cool idea, too, because, like, I'd say like every month there's like one thing on Netflix I think I need to see, and that's cool. Well, what if I didn't have Netflix for 3 months, came back, and I had like a week's worth of like movies and shows over to watch, and you know, then you switch over to the other thing. Like, every one of them has like something of merit, and that's how they keep me along. But you could easily just like backlog stuff and come back to it.
All right. Well, Earl, you will be on vacation next week. But we'll be back with something.
Something.
Yeah, I'm not sure what. Like, I'm sure we are going to play a bunch of stuff. You know, Jeff, you might be playing Baldur's Gate, or you might be playing Dragon Age.
Could be, yeah. One of those two.
Tony will continue to dominate at Balatro. Just beating all of the all of the runs.
I beat all of that. Team is okay.
I'm gonna do it.
We'll play some stuff. We'll be back then. Earl, enjoy your vacation.
Gotta fire up something new on the Switch, I guess.
Where are you going? Yeah.
I'm going to Barbados for the week.
Fuck. All right. Congrats.
That's fun. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.